Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this segment, we're going to discuss Romans chapter 13. And I got an email from a good friend of mine. Used to be my producer. He says, "Hey, Brother Nicholas, if at all possible, could you talk a little bit about the correct interpretation of Romans 13? Says pretty much everybody I talk to about how I have elected not to participate in Social Security bring up Romans 13 saying that we need to obey the government. I do not have a good explanation for that other than I know we need to obey God rather than man. Thanks for your help, Michael." Okay, well, yes, it's possible. I'm going to talk about that now. Romans 13. Well, we might as well open up the Bible and look at it and read it. Verse 1. "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." That's quite a statement there. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." Now we could go on, and we will, but I just have to stop here for a minute and look again at what these people are saying. They say that we need to obey the government. How come you aren't using, you really need to participate in socialism because you have to obey the government, okay? Well, let me ask a question. How many people listening to me or hearing my voice or this video, how many of you reported last night at the base? What are you talking about, Nicholas, right? What am I talking about? Reporting at the base? Well, yeah, didn't you know that if you don't report to the base, that you're AWOL? That's right. You're all AWOL because there is a law out there that people must follow that says if they don't report at a certain time, they're absent without leave. Okay? But you would argue now, you would argue with me, and quite rightly, you would say, "Well, I'm not in the Army. I'm not in the Navy. I don't have to report to any base. I'm not absent without leave. That doesn't apply to me." Precisely. Okay. Now, Michael says that he has elected not to participate in Social Security. Well, if you have elected not to participate in the Army, and you actually haven't signed up and said, I pledge my life to your rules, right? I join the Army or the Navy or whatever. If you haven't done that, then you've elected to not participate. So you're not required to do anything that you haven't elected to participate in. So, I mean, to obey God rather than man, that's a good thing, but I would tell people, if they say, "How come you're not participating in Social Security?" There is no law. Okay? Now here's a challenge. The $500 challenge. I'll say five. I could say $1 million, but, I don't have $1 million, and I don't have 500 sitting around either. But hey, how about a silver dollar? I do have a real silver dollar, okay? I'll give a real silver dollar to anyone who can show me a law that requires me. Yeah, that requires me to participate in Social Security, to use a Social Security number, or participate in socialism. And the fact is, there is none. There's no law that requires you to. Because actually, we do live in the land of the free. But most people aren't brave. Okay? Because it takes a little bravery to be free. to light Michael here. I mean, it costs a lot. I mean, you have to pay a price for your freedom too, to not be a slave. But there is no law. And that's, you know, I mean, if that's what people ask, how come, you know, you don't participate in Social Security? They say, well, you need to obey the government. Well, the government wants you to, but they're not requiring you to. The government would want you to do a lot of things, but they're not requiring you to do a lot of things because you do have a certain amount of liberty here. And I hope that liberty never goes away. But here's the problem with liberty is that once most people have volunteered to do something that, you know, like participating in socialism, then everyone thinks that you're required to do it. And there's something wrong with you if you don't go along with the crowd. So there is no law that requires you to participate in socialism. As a matter of fact, the Bible is against socialism. And Jesus said, if we're in his government, that we're not supposed to do those things. But back, let's go back to Romans 13 and the argument there. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Okay? Pay very attention to the words here and to every word, because God's word is such that you need to pay attention to every word. Now you notice, let every soul, singular, every soul, be subject to the higher powers, plural. So there are higher powers. And every single soul, every individual needs to be subject to the higher powers. What are these higher powers? And how do I know which one is directly above me? And whether I should obey a higher power that's directly above me? Well, it's in the same sentence. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So look at the power that's over you. Is it of God? Is it ordained of God? That's the question. Now, let's build a scenario here, okay? The scenario is this, okay? Now, we know that in God's Word, that in family government, that the father is the highest power in the family. And then the mother, after that, because the mother is under the father, but the mother and the father are over the children in power. And then maybe some of the older children are over the younger children in power or authority. Okay? We could just say authority, power. Okay? So let every soul be subject to the higher powers. So there are higher powers. If there's a child in the house, it should be subject to the higher authorities over it. Okay? Maybe the older children or the highest power that's ordained in that house would be the father. Going up to the Father. Okay? Now, here's our scenario. There are some households where the fathers are evil and the mothers are evil. And they might even, in some places and some time, even sell their children into prostitution. Now, that would be against the law, supposedly, in America. Although, if you go to public school, they're selling your children into prostitution. Spiritually speaking, anyway. But, so you have a father or a mother that wants to sell their child into prostitution. So the child is supposed to obey the higher power, right? Because it's of God and it's ordained of God. But wait a minute. Have they thrown off their ordination from God when they require their child to do something that's evil, that violates the law of God? I would say yes. And what applies at home also applies in the governments at large, in the civil governments. If the civil governments are doing things which are unlawful, and which they are, like what they're doing in the public schools, especially here in California and many of the other states, and with their licentiousness, they're saying things that are okay, that are not okay. But you know, there is a higher power. And thus the term, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Because sometimes, if the higher power immediately over you is corrupt, then you have to go to the higher power above that, that is of God and is ordained of God. Okay? So, in the case of where a child is being abused or something like that by the higher power in the home, it would go to the higher power above that, which would be the civil government, to take care of those things. If the civil government says it's okay, then it needs to go to a higher power than that, maybe even up to God Almighty and God's Word and His law, which trumps them all. Okay? So we read that differently. We don't just automatically say, let every soul be subject to the government, despite whether the government is evil, requiring you to do evil, or allowing you to do evil. You don't have to be subject to tyranny. Okay? As a matter of fact, you're supposed to fight against tyranny. So, there you have it. For there is no power but of God, so it has to be of God and ordained by God for you to be subject to it. And there are powers. So if one power over you, it's like if you have a boss at work that requires you to sleep with him, ladies, to keep your job, well, he's the higher power. Well, you're going to go to a power that's higher than him to report his evil, his tyranny, okay? So I'm glad that God put higher powers in there. So you don't just stop at the one that allows you to do your evil. You know, in the case of the government that says you can do evil, that gives you licentiousness to do evil, you don't stop there, because the higher powers over him, going up to God's word, the kingdom of God, God's law is the highest power. So you can appeal all the way up to the highest power. Now you may suffer persecution, even death. Many have throughout history. We have the history of the martyr church. Yeah. Called the history of Protestantism. And you'll see that people always went up beyond and up to the highest power. And it even cost them their lives in many instances. Okay? Now, socialism. Jesus talked about socialism. I think that was Luke 22:25. Let's go there. I'm going to move this to Luke 22, chapter 22 and verse 25. And, okay. Jesus talked about socialism. He didn't use the word socialism because they were speaking, what were they speaking? Latin, Greek, but they weren't speaking English. So what their word for socialism, I don't know what it would be. But when you describe something and it looks like socialism, you know, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, well, and, it is a duck, okay? So, socialism by any other name is still socialism. And Jesus said to them, okay, this was the strife, who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus said to them, speaking of greatest, the kings of the Gentiles. Now the word Gentiles there, if you look in your Greek, it means nations. Okay? And in context, it means other nations. Okay? Well, so what nation is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the kingdom of God here. So that's what he's comparing the kingdom of God, because he's the king, remember, Jesus. He said the kings of the other nations exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. This is quite cryptic, isn't it? It's quite cryptic until you think about it. And most people don't think about it. I don't know what most people think of this statement. What is Jesus talking about here? Well, he's describing the duck. He's describing socialism is what he's describing. They are called benefactors. Now, what's a benefactor? Okay? That's the question. What is a benefactor and why are they called benefactors? Why doesn't he say they are benefactors? Well, because they are not. They're just called benefactors. Okay? A benefactor is someone by his own labor, through his own treasure, through his own property, is a benefit to someone else. For instance, fathers and mothers out there, you work hard, you provide a nice home for your children, okay? and you give of your substance, your labor, and your treasure to support them, you are a benefactor. That's right. Okay? But you're not just called a benefactor, you are a benefactor. Now what if you were not a benefactor, but you were called a benefactor? What would you be? Ah. You would be someone who provides and is called a benefactor, is in the position of a benefactor, but is not using his own treasure, his own property, and his own labor for the benefit of others. He's a thief. It's easy to give away what does not belong to you, and they are called benefactors. You know, the Roman emperors, when they got money, and sometimes they'd give their own stuff away, but they had to get that money from somewhere. So they put taxes and levies and tribute on all of the nations and the people, and they had a head tax, and they had to pay income tax, give a whatever portion of the whatever fish they caught or whatever, and then they would redistribute that wealth. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So who are benefactors? Well, you got Bernie Sanders, he's a benefactor, but he's called a benefactor. He looks like a benefactor. The people that are receiving the stuff to him look to him as a benefactor. Oh, you know, they want that free stuff so bad. But he's got to rob your neighbor to give it to you. So Jesus was very precise when he said, they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. So all of your so-called, we'll use the word so-called benefactors out there, like Obama and whoever, all of the Democrats out there, all the liberals that want to give you free stuff, the Antichrist himself, you know, the biggest so-called benefactor of all, they don't want to give you their own stuff. You don't see the Antichrist pulling his gold out of his treasures, giving it to the people. No. He's going to create more money out of thin air, which is really robbing everyone on earth who has money, because he's devaluing it. So he's robbing everyone on earth. And he's redistributing that wealth. That's how he can fight these great wars. That's how his Washington DC government can keep fighting those wars for him that Donald Trump gets to take the credit for. Or credit? Is that really a credit? I don't think so. He gets to take the blame for. That's the truth. So, socialism. Why don't you participate in socialism? Why don't you use a social security number? Well, there's no law that requires me to use a number, have a number, or anything like that. Now, if you want benefits from the Antichrist, from the beast out there, and its image, if you want benefits from it, well, then you are required to use its number. So the law would require you to have a number to get benefits. Yeah. That's the only law you could show me. Because just like I can show you a law that says that you have to report at the base, you know, by 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever the curfew is on the base there. But you didn't sign up for that. But did you sign up for socialism? Well, yes, you did. You're a card-carrying socialist, most likely. Most people in America are. There are very few. I'd probably say it's in the single digits of the percentage of the people in the United States that have not signed up or continue to participate after their parents signed them up. And of course, why did their parents sign them up? Benefits. So they could get benefits from the so-called benefactors. But see, Jesus, what did Jesus have to say about that? Oh, let's put that on the screen there. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he is that is the chief, as he that doth serve. Well, whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. He says, ye are they which I have continued with me in my temptations. Ye are they, speaking to his disciples, and I appoint unto you a kingdom. So he's talking about a kingdom. He's appointing to us a kingdom. These disciples of his, the apostles, are going to help build that kingdom by the power that he's giving them, that he had given them. And we sit in that kingdom today. And he tells us to be servants and not to be so-called benefactors. Now here's the problem. A lot of churches, you go into church for help, or you go to these anti-abortion clinics, what do they call them? Whatever they call them, you know, where you're pregnant. And what they do is they help you, but they take you over to the beast and they sign you up for the beast benefits. They sign you up under the so-called benefactors. And you become a slave. The Antichrist and his socialist system, they want to give you stuff because it costs them absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, the more stuff they give out, the richer they get. Because they get the biggest cut of all. I mean, you're handling billions of dollars, certainly. You know, even if you're low on the totem pole of working for the beast and its government, you're still doing better. You're still getting more than double in salary and benefits medical plans and pension plans and all that. You're getting probably triple what you could get for the same type of services if you offered them in the private sector. That's the benefit of working for the beast, because of all that money that's there. They get to rob everybody on earth with every dollar they spend. And not only that they create and loan to the government, so they get interest on top of that. So everyone wants to go along. Everybody wants the school teachers, all of the teachers out there, are they working hard in the kingdom of God? Working for one third of what they would get by working for the beast? To propagate God's kingdom and teach a good godly education in the churches? No way! The temptation for that free money and those extra benefits are just too tempting. No one wants to sacrifice for the kingdom of God. And it is a sacrifice. That's right. It is a sacrifice. Going, oh, well, it must be God's plan. Because, look, everyone is doing so well that works for the beast. Of course they are. Because the beast can print unlimited money. They just keep printing more and more money. And, unfortunately, but fortunately for the beast, even the failure of the Federal Reserve note is going to serve the beast and its intentions on the world. Because the beast wants it to fail. And when it does fail, well, then he's going to introduce his one world monetary mark of the beast system, where he can get every individual using technocracy to participate in his one world government. How's that for a dissertation on Romans 13? Okay, you're listening to Across the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. Make sure you go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Please subscribe there, and we need your help at First Amendment Radio and Cross the Border. We really do. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.
Visit crosstheborder.org, CROSS, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. And I've named this ministry Cross the Border because it's about a kingdom. And as we just read in Luke 22 there, that Jesus said to his disciples who were sitting there after he told them not to be socialist in their kingdom. That's right, anti-socialist is what Jesus was. He says, you can't be called benefactors. You can't redistribute wealth like the Gentiles or like the other nations do. He says, I'm giving you a kingdom. I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. Okay. Speaking of higher power, see, the apostles are under the king. The Father appointed him a kingdom. Now he's appointing to them. He says that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There's a kingdom. There's higher power for you, okay? So, he's given us a kingdom. It's not a socialist kingdom. Definitely not. He just discounted it. He threw socialism out. So, my good friend Michael asked me, what do I say when people, why am I not obeying the government by being part of the socialist scheme out there? Why am I not participating in socialism? Well, here's the thing. The first answer when people ask you, why don't you have a social security number? Doesn't the Bible say that you should obey the government? That's basically the gist of it. And say, well, I'm not disobeying the government. That's the first thing. I'm not a socialist. And there is no law that requires me to participate in socialism in the United States. It's still a free country. And then you go, isn't it? Well, they have no choice. They have to answer yes, because they've grown up believing that we live in the freest nation on the planet. This is a free country. Certainly you don't have to participate in socialism in a free country, do you? That's the question. So you got to kind of turn the tables on them, Michael, to get them to thinking straight, because what you're bringing up is an oxymoron, you know, a contradiction in their minds. It's a free country. I don't have to, you know, so why am I trying to tell this guy he has to be a socialist if it's a free country? And America is not supposed to be a socialist country, but how come everyone is walking around as card-carrying socialists? If you have applied for benefits, that is a social security number and all of the benefits that come with it. As a matter of fact, over the last 20 years, if you're not a card-carrying socialist, they've been taking away benefits that rightly belong to the free man in this country away from you. It's like, I can't get a driver's license anymore because I'm not a socialist. Now, I can't even fly on a plane. I cannot get on an airplane and fly across the country, even internally in the U.S., because I'm not a socialist. They deny me ID that would allow me to get on a plane. Now I can't even get in through the security station there at the airport. Okay? Can't do it. Can't fly. pretty soon they're going to be blocking the borders. I won't be able to drive across the border without socialism. They'll turn me back. But why? I mean, they're already scanning my whole body. They're already going through all my luggage. They've already, x-rayed me and everything I own, and they know I don't have a bomb or a gun on me. But somehow, because I'm not a socialist, I'm a danger. That's a lie. It's not even true, but it goes to the root of the whole thing. You don't have the mark of the beast. And that's what it's all about. And pretty soon, we're going to kill you, just as we have done in history. And that's why history is so important. I've been going through the series, The History of Protestantism. I think I'm going to rename it The History of the Martyr Church, because that's what it is. That's what I'm reading about. The History of the Martyr Church. This is the kind of Christian you want to be if you want to suffer for your faith, if you want to sacrifice for your faith, if you want to be a part of the sacrificing church, the kingdom that Jesus appointed to his apostles, and they all paid the price for it. And many hundreds of millions have paid the price for it since. Why? Because their treasure is not in this world. And the benefits that they're looking for are out of this world. And those are the benefits I'm after. If I have to suffer and lose benefits of that I deserve in this world of liberty, liberty of conscience, liberty to travel, and to travel freely, to have a business and to work hard, if I have to lose all that for the greater benefit that is out of this world, that I'll only see by faith, I only see by faith now, but I will only receive in the resurrection, in the world to come. Then that's the price I'm willing to pay. Yes, even the price of my very own life. And if it comes to that, great, let's do it. Let's, you know, because I know that God will sustain me like he sustained every other one of his martyrs throughout history. And some of them suffered terrible. But I'll tell you, Stephen at the end there, recorded in the Bible, many other martyr deaths are recorded in the Bible. Didn't look like they were feeling any pain at the end there. That they saw the prize. They were now seeing the prize, and they were on their way to it. And I believe. That's it. I believe. So that's the true benefit that I'm after. The one that only comes through Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. I appoint unto you a kingdom. I called my ministry Cross the Border because really I'm begging and I'm pleading with people to cross the border into this kingdom that Jesus was talking about. Not like the Gentiles who exercise lordship over you and they call themselves benefactors by giving you free stuff that they steal from your neighbor and everyone on the planet like the Antichrist and his shadow government does today. No, not like that. Not like those kingdoms of this world. But the kingdom that he appointed to the apostles, and the apostles have appointed to us. Because we're in that lineage of faith. We are the seed of Abraham by faith. And we walk in that kingdom. So cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. There is absolutely nothing more important. The gospel message is at the very core of everything I do. Without the gospel message, I've got nothing. No reason. No hope. And if you don't get that, then you've got nothing. You can know all about the future. You can discover that the earth is truly spherical, like the Bible says. You can have it all figured out, how the shadow government works. But if you haven't got the gospel, if you don't have faith in Christ and what he has done for you, to give you a kingdom, to appoint you a kingdom. As he said, his Father has appointed unto him. He appointed to us our apostles, his disciples. And they have appointed it to those that follow them. And they have appointed it to them. And the history of the martyr church has brought it down to our day. And we may not be, well, many have suffered death in this country, but a great many more are suffering death in other countries for their faith. And the time is coming, of course, according to the Bible, where everyone is going to be singled out individually to receive a mark to buy or sell. And I believe that it's going to follow the downfall of the United States Treasury, Federal Reserve note. Because I know the Antichrist wants his one world monetary system. He wants everyone on the same page with total control. And anyone who won't participate will be singled out for death. And hey, we have the culture of death. It's growing exponentially, even as inflation is exponentially growing now, hyperinflation. So the culture of death is growing exponentially. And you can see where it's going. It's happened in history. I mean, you got these, listen, I'm going to listen to these Democratic debates tonight. They're having on for tonight and tomorrow night. I'm going to listen to them because I'm interested, really interested in what these people that worship Satan, knowingly or unknowingly, but that love the culture of death is what they're saying. Because they just kill those babies, man, before they're born, after they're born, it don't matter. How about when they're a year old? And then the old people are next. It's already happening. So if you have murderers and a culture of suicide around you, I mean, why do you think people that can murder commit suicide readily? Because they are murderers. And suicide is just self-murder. It's a culture of death. Okay? So now they want to murder people that are old. Yeah. And what's the next step? Well, you got to murder people that are against God. Of course, the God of this world. That are against the new world order that is developing. That the technocracy will take care of them. It will single them out, and then they will be put to death. And you see how they cry for blood now. Just watch these people with this new culture of death. They are all murderers in their hearts. Every single one of them that loves the death of babies, up until the moment they're born, even after they're born, to kill them. Maybe a month later. Maybe the child isn't quite what you wanted it to be. You decide to put it to death. What's the difference between a day old and a month old? And what's the difference between allowing people to commit suicide and euthanasia? And then how about enforced euthanasia? Yeah. And how about just because they won't go along with the Antichrist? The Antichrist has had no problem over the centuries. That's why history is so important. Listen to the series that I'm doing now on the history of Protestantism. If you call yourself a Christian, or read the book, get it yourself. It's free online. You can read it for yourself, or you can take it a bite at a time, because I'm doing the segments, the chapters I'm doing are about 25 minutes each. And just listen to them. Listen to what has happened to the people that joined this kingdom that God has appointed, that Jesus had appointed to his apostles, and his apostles have appointed down through history to us. Yeah, cross the border, join me. Sacrifice, suffer, have your rights taken away, because anything you can obtain in this life is not the prize that true gospel, Bible-believing Christians are after. It's not the prize. Paul said, keep your eye on the prize. It's not here. It's not in this life. In this life, yeah, you'll have some happiness. You'll have joy. It won't always feel that way. Sometimes it'll feel awful. Sometimes you'll be in depression. Read through Paul. Read. You can, under the surface, you can feel that he felt the same things that I'm feeling. Many times he says struggle with the same things that I'm struggling. These were all men, all these men of God throughout history. They were just men like us. But we have to keep our eye on the prize. And it's not on this side of the grave. It is not. When the world loves you, you should be afraid. If the world hates you, you're in good company. You see, there's my consolation, my solace, is that I'm in good company. The world hates me. People are dropping off, even so-called Christians, because the so-called Christians are the greater part of the church. Jesus specifically outlined it in Matthew chapter 7. First, he talks about the world. He says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many, the many in the world, that means the majority of the world. Then he narrows in on the church and he says, many will come to me in that day. The many, that's many is more, the most of those that call themselves the church. You've got the great apostasy that rose up with the Antichrist. When the man of sin was revealed, the greatest apostasy. What, 2 billion strong now, at least? And plus everyone else who isn't following Christ is really worshiping the beast, its image, or the Antichrist overtly. He doesn't care which one you worship, just so it's not the true Christ. You can worship the beast, you can worship the dragon, you can worship the false prophet, you can worship the image. It doesn't matter to Satan. Just so you don't give your life to Christ and believe solely on what His blood can do for you. What He did to redeem you from the power of sin and death. That's the only thing that will save you. But it may cost you everything, including your life. History is important. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I just maybe have to rethink how I'm doing it, perhaps. I don't know. Any comments, ideas, questions from anyone listening out there would be valuable to me. And support, really need support here to keep working in God's kingdom. Okay. Need to pay the bills here. Would like to expand this ministry a little bit, because we're one of the only ones that's telling you who the true Antichrist is and pointing to what's really going on out here with his shadow government that rules the world today. Yeah, let me check the chat room before I sign off, see if I got any comments, questions. Ah, Corp Raid, haven't seen you since, I guess, last week, or the week before that, whatever it was. Let's see, their provider is the government, in contrast to Yahuwah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, but really the correct pronunciation for Jehovah is Yahuwah. Let's see, and of course the government cannot give anything that they do not first take from others. See, there are a few people out there that get it. The problem with socialism is that eventually you run out of other people's money. Yes, indeed. Margaret Thatcher quote. And indeed, we are paying 3 times or more what it costs before socialism. You know, it's like socialized medicine. I mean, I can't, I won't be able to go to a doctor. I'm paying cash now for like dental work and stuff like that. But I think if I had to show up in a hospital for trauma or something, they'd just put me over like one of those babies they don't want and let me die. Certainly though, that would happen. I'm certain that they no compunction about it whatsoever. This is the culture we're in, the culture of death, especially when you get into the medical industry. All of these people have been schooled an antichrist thing, you know, anti-human thing, death, the culture of death thinking. Thomas Sowell said, how is it that if doctors, hospitals, and medicine are too expensive, then doctors, hospitals, and medicine plus insurance companies will be less expensive? Yes, exactly. One consequence of socialism is falling for the temptation to let us all be of one purse. And yes, I've talked about that before. We go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Yeah, I believe that's in Proverbs chapter 1, isn't it? Yeah, go there and read it. And one consequence of socialism is falling for the temptation. Yeah, that's right. It's, I believe that it was no coincidence that the birth, life, and teachings of God incarnate, Yeshua, occurred at the most subversive time in history. And that during that time, Yeshua with his chosen apostles, established the church or ecclesia. Okay. Well, so there's, I'm not totally alone out here, am I? And I believe that things are, that there's more hope in America because we talked about that before. And I guess I'll emphasize it again. America is the two-horned earth beast that seems to be split evenly between lamb-like and dragon-speaking. So there's kind of a schizophrenic government that we have here. So maybe, so as long as I'm here, I'm going to say it's a free country, isn't it? I don't have to participate in socialism in a free country, do I? Because of the lamb-like part. Of course, the dragon-like part would like to crucify me. They're out there screaming right now, give us more free stuff. Die, you babies. And people who don't agree with us, kill them all. Yeah. Do I exaggerate? I don't even have to exaggerate when I say these things. Maybe be maybe a little theatrical, but no exaggeration necessary. And you all know it because the three frog spirits are croaking louder than ever and drowning out everything else. Okay, well, I'm about run out of time here. I want to thank everyone for listening to this live, however you're listening to it afterwards or whatever. Spread it around, you know, post it somewhere. Get other people to pay attention to who the true Antichrist is. Think about my book there, what is it called? When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. You know, make sure you get a free copy of that if you can't buy it. And then when I email you the PDF, email it to 10 other people. Seriously. All you got to do is email it to your whole list of people. Okay? I give you permission. If you get my free ebook on When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin, take the email when you get the PDF, because I'm going to send a PDF directly to your email box, and then email it to everyone on your list. Everyone in your email list. Please. That's, is that too much to ask? It costs you a few clicks on your keyboard. And because most of you are Christian, so most of the people on your list will be Christians. And so you may reach some elect that way and might reach some elect pagans out there that are on your email list, because we have all kinds on our email list, don't we? So anyway, I give you permission to do that. So if you don't have it, go to the Get the Free Ebook page there and do that. Request it. I'll email it to you, and then you send it to everyone on your list and let them all read it. It's not a huge read, not a hard read, but it should be quite eye-opening. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. Yes, the narrow way that leads to life. That's where you should be. Okay, until we meet again.
The book of Revelation says,
The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.